All right, counsel, you may begin whenever you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the court, Jessica Boutwell on behalf of Michael Williams. Mr. Williams is the putative husband in a divorce matter coming to this court from the Chesterfield Circuit Court. Mr. Williams asked the court today to reverse and remand the decision of the circuit court that a valid marriage existed between the parties. Effectively, there is one legal issue in this matter, and that is whether wife's divorce in Peru was final in December of 1987 or in May of 1988.
With regard to that question, who has the burden of proof to show that? I know there was a motion to declare that the marriage in the Virginia court void, and who has the burden of proof on
husband.
That?
I think the case law is clear. Our position is that husband did meet that burden of proof. That was demonstrated by the Peruvian marriage license, which was entered into evidence, which demonstrates dates of her original marriage, July 1, 1980. The divorce in the first instance, which was December 15, 1987, there is no dispute that the parties were married in this matter April 15, 1988, and then the divorce in the second instance was affirmed by the appellate court in Peru May 24, 1988.
And your contention is that the divorce was not final until it was affirmed in Peru?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And you base that on two documents that are the documents you alluded to earlier, which are the documents in Spanish?
Yes, Your Honor, effectively. And our position is that if the documents in Spanish and what Judge Johnson stated is the documents speak for themselves to the extent they speak, it's in Spanish, but the numerals are Roman numerals. The dates can be distinguished, and the dates were stipulated to by counsel in trial. So there is no dispute that there was a divorce decree, there was a marriage between these parties, and there was a final decision by the appellate court. Counsel in trial represented to the court that his understanding of Peruvian law was that the divorce was not final until the appellate decision was reached.
He didn't provide any experts in Peruvian law or anything. I think he got something off the internet, isn't that right?
Correct. He did not. He requested, and I guess the second part of our argument today is that I think it was very clear that the trial court recognized this as a critical issue. It's a threshold issue if these parties are not validly married because wife was still married to a previous husband, their marriage has to be found void ab initio.
But wasn't it a matter that was known to the husband prior to this particular hearing, in fact, prior to discovery?
It was known to the husband, and I think what the record supports is that wife's previous marriage was clearly known to the husband all the time. Since the parties were married, and he learned that it was on appeal when she was in the process of applying for her immigration status in the United States, but he didn't learn until discovery, specifically the fact that the appeal had not been finalized until after they were married.
But how is the trial court supposed to interpret what the Peruvian court proceedings and orders mean without an expert to explain it?
Our position is that if the trial court, it's very clear the trial court knew that was a threshold issue. On several occasions, the court pointed that out. Counsel brought in the Peruvian statute and had a translator present and was not allowed to have the translator present just a translation of the relevant code sections, and requested a continuance to obtain expert testimony once the court had indicated that expert testimony would be necessary. The court analogized to a similar case interpreting California law, and ultimately, because wife had significant number of witnesses present, the court ended up denying the motion for a continuance. And our position on that is that was an abuse of the trial court's discretion in not denying and not allowing the continuance to obtain
expert
testimony.
What do you base that on in terms of it being an abuse of discretion? If he's starting to actually work on it 24 hours prior to the hearing in terms of interpreting the statute, and it's known about for a period of time before the hearing.
I don't know that the record supports that it was only started to work on 24 hours prior. What counsel had stated
was that
he
looked it up.
He printed
it
out the day prior to trial, which is understandable. But the issue And what the record supports is that the parties and the trial court knew that Peruvian law was going to be an issue from the time that it was uncovered during discovery that wife's previous marriage may have.
But wasn't there an issue that counsel did not, while he may have raised it with the opposing counsel, didn't follow up or indicate anything more?
That is my understanding, although he did, he provided statutes and his argument at trial was it's publicly available information regardless of whether it comes from the internet or a book, a code section. The parties and counsel and the court all knew that Peruvian law was going to be part of the crux of this case and whether wife's previous marriage was still ongoing at the time that the parties were married to each other. And so each of the parties had an opportunity to present evidence as to Peruvian law.
Well, this matter was set for a hearing on whether the marriage, the New York marriage, which was being dissolved in Virginia, it was set for a hearing in September, and it was set for November for that purpose. Isn't
yes.
that right? Okay. And in November, when husband comes in, he's got two documents in Spanish. He does not have an expert in Peruvian law, and he does not have a translator, and the court gives him a recess to get a translator, to have the court translator. The translator would not, it's not your position that he would have been an expert in Peruvian law.
No, but it would have enabled the trial court to at least consider the issue in the Peruvian statutes that counsel brought to court to allow the court to at least know whether the court needed additional expert testimony or if the statute was clear on its face.
And your motion, your contention that the trial court abused his discretion by denying the continuance is based on the, sort of the narrow fact that he did not give him a continuance in November to then obtain the evidence, a Peruvian expert, that he would need to support his motion to declare the marriage void.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think the judge made very clear that he did not understand the law behind this issue, whoever's fault that was. But the judge stated he is not an expert in Peruvian law. He doesn't know whether wife's marriage was still continuing in 1988 after these parties married, and because that is a critical issue, and it needed to be something that was understood by the court before the court could make that conclusion of law. Again, if the trial court had heard evidence, that would have allowed the trial court to make a complete decision regarding whether the marriage was still valid. If what the court said on, again, on multiple occasions was if the marriage between wife and her ex-husband was still continuing at the time that these parties married, it has to be a bigamous marriage and it has to be void under Virginia public policy. Your Honor mentioned New York law. I think that New York law is relevant but has no control over the issues here. That
no,
is
I just said that because that's where the parties got married.
Understood. And that is where the parties, so just to inform the court, there was not a complicating issue of New York law because I think what Virginia law supports is that even if New York law said a bigamous marriage was okay under that, the governing law would still be Virginia because Virginia law establishes that bigamous marriages are repugnant to public policy here. Again, going back to the issue of what counsel presented as far as evidence of Peruvian law, he proffered his understanding of the law to the court, and nothing was actually demonstrated to the court to rebut that. So the evidence the court did have between the Peruvian marriage license and divorce, which are one in the same document, and counsel's proffered understanding of what Peruvian law dictates, which is that the divorce is not final until the appeal is final, the court had to use that as evidence and find that the marriage was still existing at the time of these parties' marriage. Um, If the court has no further questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. South?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Dawn South, and I represent the appellee Carmen Williams, who was the wife in this case. Your Honor, I think it's clear from the record that there was no evidence ever presented to the court in which the court could decide the threshold issue in this case. And I disagree with counsel's statement that anything was proffered. The statute wasn't read into the record and proffered after the court met its ruling. This matter had been set for a hearing. It's clear from the record that the issue of the marriage being voidable wasn't even raised until after a final hearing had been set. And this was raised late, which was known about. Husband had known about the issue since 1994 when wife applied for her immigration status. The record's clear that husband actually contacted his CBA, he was a police officer in New York, attorney, because both husband and wife were concerned about that issue. That issue became a non-issue, and wife was ultimately granted her citizenship based on their marriage. Wife was given...
But this court can't take any type of judicial notice about the fact that the immigration court made a determination of the validity of her marriage for purposes of immigration, can we?
I agree, Your Honor. I think the trial court had, if we had gotten to that point, but the issue in this case is that for the appeals, we never even got to that point. We were set for a hearing that day on this issue, and it was the defendant's burden, it was husband's burden, and nothing was presented. There was no law from which the court could make a ruling that the marriage was void. And there's nothing proffered into the record for this court to even find that the court was wrong.
You mentioned voidable a moment ago. Is your argument that if any there's a problem here, it's simply voidable and not void ab initio?
I don't necessarily agree with that, Your Honor. I mean, I think the law is clear. My position at trial, which we never got to that, was that if it was void, then there were estoppel and latches arguments. But we never even got to that point because defendant never met the first prong in the case. There was no law presented. The issue is Peruvian law and the Peruvian appeals process. The court has no knowledge, and the court would have needed the statutes, but more importantly, would have needed expert testimony to explain. As cited in the record, counsel stated he only did a simple Google search the night before. He said he had consulted with a Peruvian attorney. In the record, when I deposed husband 2 weeks prior, I asked him numerous questions about what he was going to present, what he had. And he said, well, we've consulted with a Peruvian attorney. We have a memorandum. When is it going to be turned over? It was never turned over, which I think the inference can be made, as I raised at trial, that it wasn't helpful. And again, when you have these issues of law, I think the court needed an expert to explain Peruvian law, the Peruvian process, and that was not presented to the court for them to make the decision. Certainly, just reading a statute in that was found off the internet, I don't think is sufficient. And even if it was, that never occurred and it was never proffered into the record. So I don't think there's anything here for the court to even find that the court abused its discretion or there was an error of law, because we never got to that point. It was the defendant's burden. A trial had been set on this issue in September, and nothing was produced in discovery to present his position. Counsel stated in the record that he was basically, what he had found, he was, quote, translating on the fly on page 68 to 69. So there's no way for that the court could have based on his rough translation, no certified and that's page 68 and 69 of the record, Your Honor. We don't know that this is good law. And again, per my argument in the lower court, the court just doesn't look at one statute. The court looks at titles. They look at definitions. There are case law. Counsel was asked, well, are there any Peruvian cases interpreting the statute? And his response was, I don't have, on page 71 of the record, I don't have access to a legal research database. This is the whole reason why defendant needed to bring in an expert of law, as commonly done in these cases, someone that could explain what Peruvian law was, how the appellate process works. I don't think anything was presented to allow the court to even remotely show that the presumption of the valid marriage was rebutted. So to answer your question, Your Honor, I don't think the court takes notice of that. I'm not asking the court to, but I don't think we ever got to that point, that there was nothing to show that the presumption was never rebutted. And as for the continuance, this was set in September. This case had been pending since since March 2015, over 2 years when we were in court. And again, no evidence was presented that there would be a detriment to the defendant in the continuance. The evidence that was presented, the argument that was presented, was that the detriment would be to my client. There were only two assets in this case, one of which was a pension, and the longer that this case went on, husband would be receiving the full pension, which would have been subject to equitable distribution. Also, there had been multiple attorney's fees, and we were prepared for a full hearing that day. And I think for the husband to come to court without an expert, without the law, without providing it, he just wasn't prepared and did not meet his burden. And again, counsel at one point just didn't even suggest getting an expert. He wanted to brief the issue, which I argued was going to make us no better off than where we were that day, because just citing the law without having an expert explain to the court the issues, I don't think would be helpful, and we would be right back where we were, just spending more attorney's fees of the parties. I don't believe that there's anything in the record, Your Honor, to support that there was an error of law made, and I don't believe the court abused its discretion. In these type of cases, they're set well out. Counsel knows what the expectation was. We both agreed that day in opening who had the burden, who was going first. And he didn't make his motion to continue until after he had already known that he was in trouble and the court was ruling against him. So I think to just not come that day and prepare was a problem. And again, the judge asked him in the beginning, are you ready to proceed? And he was ready to proceed. So, Your Honor, I just don't believe that there's anything in the record that would support his position. He didn't proffer the record properly after the motion to strike was granted. Just reading a statute into evidence, he didn't even have a translator there. The court made accommodations to give him a short recess to see if we could even get a translator. So I think the court was accommodating in every way, shape, and fashion. But I think the court needs to understand that, these are packed dockets and these cases take time and preparation, and everyone knew what we were there for that day. He just wasn't ready, and starting 24 hours with something that you pull off the internet, you don't provide to counsel, it hasn't been translated, it just was not enough, and the burden was on him, and he did not meet it. There are no further questions. I'll just rest on my brief, Your Honor.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Selby. Ms. Bootwell.
Thank you, Your Honor. Judge, as far as the timing that occurred during the trial and the when the continuance was requested, the continuance was requested, I think, before counsel realized he was in trouble. He was given the indication by the trial court that the court required expert testimony. The court indicated, this is at 79 in the appendix, effectively that the court did require further information, expert testimony. A brief would be what he said. A brief is fine, but a brief's got to be based on some facts. I'll even give you a chance to argue it again, but that would be up to y'all whether or not we need a factual hearing so I can determine the facts. From that statement by the court, it's clear the court doesn't understand the law, needed expert testimony, needed a brief. It was not about whether counsel was in trouble as far as what he was presenting. And ultimately, what the court chose to weigh in wife's favor was that she had substantial witnesses present. She was prepared to move forward on the issue of equity and latches, which I think is a red herring because I don't think the case law supports any equity or latches defense to a bigamous marriage. But he was not given the opportunity to present the expert testimony after the court gave an indication that he would require expert testimony to truly understand the underlying issue here. As far as the abuse of discretion in not granting a continuance, I think the case law supports that. And there was a case
that was cited in counsel's brief, Hagen, that states where the court is has recognized a threshold issue and the ability to have a continuance and the failure to grant a continuance is seriously imperiling the ability of the court to make a just determination, that case says the ruling on the motion to continue must be reversed. And I think that, obviously, the facts in these two cases, this and Hagen, are vastly different, but this is one of those cases where the court recognized a lack of information, an inability to make a just determination of this issue, and a continuance would have allowed the court the ability to obtain expert testimony and educate the court on this issue and
how,
be able to.
How do you respond, Ms. Boutwell, to you mentioned page 79 of the appendix, and when the judge, Judge Johnson, makes his point, Ms. South objects and points out this has been pending here since 2015, and there needs to be some resolution at some point. Why, if it's been pending a long time, why doesn't a trial judge have considerable discretion about whether to grant a continuance or not?
I think that goes back to the discussion of when this issue, this particular issue, was actually raised, because it was not raised in the initial pleadings. Husband's position is that the appeal of the marriage and the specific dates, I'm sorry, the appeal of the divorce and the specific dates of the divorce in the first instance and the upholding of the divorce in the second instance were not discovered by him until the middle of the discovery process, which was substantially after the pleadings were amended. And from the time the pleadings were amended, each of the parties had the ability to research Peruvian law and do some background digging on this particular issue. So while I do agree that the court had substantial discretion as far as granting the continuance, up until really the middle of the hearing, the court seemed inclined to grant a continuance. But I think ultimately what the court did was favor the presumption of a validity of marriage over the statutory presumption against the bigamous marriage in order to give wife the equitable relief, equitable distribution, and reservation of spousal support that are only available through a divorce proceeding.
Let me just go back to one thing you said. I want to be sure I understand this right. Are you saying that the husband did not know that there was an issue with regard to when the Peruvian divorce was final until the middle, until before he amended his claim? Didn't he know, and wasn't that an issue with the immigration proceedings?
I think that what the record supports is he knew that there was an issue, that that her divorce had been appealed. He did
right.
not know that it was not finalized until after the parties were married. And I think, I don't have a specific page cite,
okay.
but I think
okay.
what wife testified to is that she didn't know that there was an issue during the immigration process either. She knew that the divorce order had been appealed, but not that it was not finalized or... Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Brewer. We're going to come down and